Dr. Cooper's office.
The Vaseline Program, presenting a new prize play, The Failure, by Nelson Bond of Roanoke, Virginia. Starring Dean Herschel as Dr. Christian, with Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price. War production remains the nation's number one assignment. Busy hands must keep on working, even though they may get sore from daily contact with chemicals, dyes, machine oils, and similar irritating materials. Let Vaseline Petroleum Jelly help. Before beginning work, give your hands a light coating of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. That helps keep grime and grit from becoming ground into the skin and thus safeguards against infection. Also makes dirt and grease lots easier to remove and less apt to irritate. Then after the wash-up, another light application of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly supplements the natural skin oils that strong cleansers sometimes scour away, relieves the stain, and helps promote quick healing of minor cuts and abrasions. If your hands do hard, dirty work in a war plant or anywhere else, they'll feel better with this double protection of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Get a 10-cent jar or convenient tube to carry in pocket or purse. Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Now to our play. Our story takes us to the familiar office of Dr. Christian, where the doctor of River's End is conducting a very, very delicate operation.
Antiseptic, Judy.
Antiseptic, Dr. Christian.
Tweezers.
Tweezers.
Now, Sandy, be a big, brave soldier. This may hurt a little bit. Now. There. Now it's all over. Go, Judy.
Here you are, Doctor.
Here, darling. You're all right now.
Oh, she's just an old sissy. Come on, Doctor. Give it a word. Cry baby.
I am not a cry baby.
Of course not, Quake. She's a brave girl. My, just look at that splinter. Judy, did you ever see such a big one in your life?
Never did.
Mm-hmm. Now, there we are. Feel better now, Sandy?
Yes. I guess so.
Oh, of course you do, honey.
Well, Alice, this casualty is his job.
Thanks, Dr. Christian. Doctor.
Yes?
If you're not too busy, I mean, could I talk to you a moment, alone?
Well, of course. Judy.
Yes, Doctor. Claire, you and Sandy come out to the waiting room with me. I'll show you some nice new picture books.
Oh, goodness. Goodbye, Dr. Christian.
Goodbye.
Thank you for taking out my
splinter. You're welcome, child.
Yes, Tommy. Bye, Doctor.
Bye.
Wait a minute. Better let me go first. Might be some old Nazi hiding out there. I thought so. There. But that, not.
Quite a pair of those youngsters. Well, now, Alice.
Well, I hardly know how to begin, Doctor.
Look, my dear, it's a matter of payment for this visit. Let's forget it. I know, dear, for he hasn't worked for some time
no,
now.
No, it's not that, Doctor. Not exactly. Though, if you could wait,
Of course, but what is stopping you?
Well, it's death, Dr. Christian.
Your husband's not ill again, Maddie.
No, he's in fair health. Of course, he'll never be able to go back to his old job.
No, I'm afraid not. I told you when Jeff came home from the sanatorium that he's completely cured. But after what he went through, he needs rest and relaxation. What's the trouble? Has he found simple work?
Jeff's been working at home, Dr. Christian. He's been trying to write.
Really? I didn't know he wanted to write.
Oh, yes, Doctor. That's always been Jeff's ambition, to write. And since we had a little money left, we decided to give him a chance. And he's really worked at it, Dr. Christian. For the past 6 months, he's been driving himself like a galley slave on his poetry.
Poetry?
Mm-hmm. But he had no success.
You mean in 6 months he sold nothing?
Not a line. That's why I'm so worried, Doctor. Oh, I know he'll succeed eventually, but I'm afraid he'll crack up before success comes.
I see. You mean he's discouraged?
Yes, Doctor. He's despondent. He's growing bitter because no one will buy his safety. But safety was full of eagerness and enthusiasm, and now every day he spends less time writing and more time brooding. He reproaches himself and says he's a failure.
A failure, Sandy?
Yes, that's what he calls himself. Oh, Dr. Christian, he wants to write, and I want him to write. The money doesn't matter. I can go back to work myself if necessary.
You will.
Well, why not? The children are old enough now. Craig's 9 and Sandy's almost 7. And I was a pretty good secretary once upon a time, you know, before I married Jeff.
But that was 10 years ago. You've forgotten a lot in 10 years.
Oh, you'd be surprised how little I think. I've kept it my shorthand, and I use bookkeeping for my household accounts. You don't know of anyone who needs a good secretary, do you?
Well, not offhand, but I guess you could find someone if you're serious, but I believe our first job is to put Jeff back on his feet.
Then you will talk to him? Oh, when?
No time like the present. Why not tonight? Judy and I will drop by about 8:30.
Perfect. I'll expect you then. But remember, Doctor, not a word about this to Jeff. Huh?
Not a word. It is our little secret. Now, don't forget, Judy. We just stopped by to see how Sandy's finger is.
I understand, Dr. Christian.
Hello, Craig. Your mama and daddy in?
Hello, Doctor and Judy.
Hello, Craig.
Here they are. Come in. It's Dr. Christian and Judy. Let me take your hat, Doctor.
Hello, Dr. Christian. This is a surprise. And Miss Judy, please come in.
All right, we will.
Thanks, dear. Judy and I were passing by, and I thought I'd see how Sandy's doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doctor, how nice to see you again.
Hello, Alice.
Hello, Judy. Good evening.
Hello, Dr. Christian.
Well, young lady, how's the injured dentist?
Well, I don't know, Dr. Christian. Something feels better now.
Oh,
oh, she's dumb, Doctor. Doesn't even know what I did that is.
Oh, are you sure you do, Craig? Now, run along and get undressed, you two. It's bedtime.
Okay, Mom. Good night. Good night, Dr. Christian.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Sleep tight, Judy. Well, I guess you'd better not stay.
Oh, nonsense. You can't rush off. Alice, isn't there some hot coffee for these folks?
Won't take a minute to heat it.
And some of that cake we had for dinner?
Well, no. I'm not going to speak to Tina about leaving.
Me neither. I take it Mrs. Fowler's cake.
Oh?
Well, you three make yourself cozy then, and I'll be right back. Have a nice chat, Doctor.
Well, Jeff, how are things?
Oh, so-so, I guess, Dr. Christian.
You don't sound very sure, Dad.
Well, no. I'm not working, you know.
I knew you weren't employed, but I understood you were writing these days.
Writing? That.
What's wrong, Mr. Fowler? Don't you like
it? Oh, it's not me. It's a blasted editor. They're prejudiced against newcomers. Won't even read my manuscript.
Oh, what's the use?
The simple truth is nobody wants to hear my verse.
Oh, verse? That's what you write, Mr. Fowler.
That's what I try to write.
Well, I'd like to hear some of it, yes.
I might just as well.
Huh? You would? Of course I would.
Oh, I would too.
Say, hey, that might not be such a bad idea at that. You've published a few things, haven't you, Dr. Christian?
Well, nothing along purely creative lines, yes. A few papers and medical subjects.
Yes, but you know, publishers, you have contracts, and that's what it takes to get started. Maybe you could help me get on the inside.
I'd be glad to do anything I can, yes. I don't know that I have any influence, but...
May we hear some of your poetry, Mr. Fowler?
Well, you really want to?
Of course.
I've got some new verses right over here in this drawer. Yes, here they are.
Sorry, Daddy, sorry.
Uh-oh, trouble.
Sorry, Daddy, sorry.
I thought you two wild Indians were in bed.
We're going as soon as you hear about how Winky and Blinky get out of the cave. And about the magic, think magic cave.
Oh, no, not tonight. Now, off you go.
Oh, Daddy, you promised.
Now, pray.
Please, Daddy.
Sandy, we have guests. No story tonight, but I'll tell you a nice long one tomorrow.
Why not tonight, yet?
Huh? What?
Oh, go ahead and tell them their bedtime story now.
Oh, but really, I don't
want to. Please do. Oh, look, here comes Alice's coffee and that scrumptious with cake. I'm sure we couldn't pay proper attention to your poems anyway while we're eating.
Here, I'll help you.
Oh, thanks, Mrs. Fowler. And yes, Alice, I hope you like it.
It looks wonderful, Alice.
Daddy, please.
Come on, Daddy. Tell us.
We're getting clean on the table. Mm.
Well, if you sure you won't mind. All right. Climb up here. There. Now, let me see. Where did we leave off?
Blinky and Blinky were hiding in a giant cave, and a giant was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but the magic one had told them how to make themselves indivisible.
Invisible, great. All right. Now I remember. Well, Winky and Blinky were in the giant cave, and outside they heard the clump, clump, clump of footsteps, and a voice like thunder crying. Boat was rocking and rolling and tossing and wallowing, and poor Winky was wet from head to foot. So he shouted, "Help me, Blinky!" But she couldn't help him a bit because he was trying to rescue the magic hand.
"Well, go on, Daddy."
"Well, that's all, son."
"Oh, no, Daddy. Now, Winky and Blinky, we forgotten on.
Well, we'll find out about that tomorrow night. But now, it's time for good little boys and girls to tumble into their own butterfly boats and sail off to Dreamland. So, off you go. That's true."
"Yeah. All right. Thank you, Daddy."
"Don't forget to say goodnight."
"Not Miss Judy.
Good night, Ted." "Good night, Sandy."
Sleep tight, Judy. Well, yes, that was quite a story.
Indeed it was. I'd like to know if Winky and Blinky reached the Golden Island myself. Then you'd better come back again tomorrow night, Judy, and find out.
Well, enough of that. Now, Doctor, you'd still like to hear some of that poetry we were talking about?
"Of course, dear."
"All right. Now, here's one I just finished. It's a tone poem representing the passage of day into night as the transition of man's youth into the quiet melancholy of old age. I call it twilight. When the gently age the dun and amber hues of twilight to the even's mellow dark, wan shadows dwindle to the somber hues, and silent is the music of the lark. Cry unto you, awake, my love, awake, lest this poor trembling heart should sadly break." Well, Doctor?
Yes, very interesting.
Interesting?
Oh, what I mean is, very poetic.
Poetic? Is that all you can say about it?
Well, dear, I have only a layman's viewpoint.
Layman's viewpoint be hanged. You're just like the rest of them. If these verses were in calf-bound volume labeled Keats or Shelley or Browning, you'd say they were inspired works of genius. But because they were written by Jeff Fowler, you think they're just junk, trash.
I didn't say that, dear.
No, but that's what you meant. Okay, then. So I'm not a poet. I'm just a weakling, a miserable failure who can't even support his own wife and kids.
Jeff, you're being rude.
Not rude, Frank.
Very quicker, dear. I never said I didn't like your work.
You mean you do?
I think you have prospects, yes.
Then you mean you will help me?
Of course I will, if any way possible.
Now you see, Jeff?
I'm sorry I flew off the handle, Doctor. I guess I'm worried and irritable.
Oh, I understand. We all get upset at times.
Yeah.
But now, about helping you, I'll have to have your written permission to act as your legal representative, your agent.
Oh, sure.
Are you willing to trust my judgment in the handling of your work?
Trust it? Great heavens, yes. I'll select a group of my best poems immediately and bring them to your office tomorrow morning.
Good. Then I'll give you...
Oh, please, Doctor, you don't have to go, do you?
I'm afraid we must. No, don't you get up here. Alice can see us at the door. Good night.
Good night, Dr. Christian, and thanks.
Good night, Mr. Fowler. Now, we're good, Greg, get your hair. Oh, here it is. Doctor, you can't hear us out here. Before you go, honestly, what do you think of this work?
I think you were right, Alice. He can write. He has a fine imagination and a good taste for work. I think he can do something to get him started on the road he wants.
Oh, I'm so glad. But you said please.
Yes. I want you to help prepare Jeff's manuscript for market. It is too busy, and besides, it's a job only you can do properly. Now, suppose you come in tomorrow afternoon to see me, and we discuss it more fully. It's going to take both our efforts to put Jeff on the right track. Well, Alice, how's it going?
Oh, good afternoon, Doctor. Almost done.
Already? You have been working fast.
So Judy's helped me a lot.
Good. And, yes, how's he?
Working like mad on poems and more poems. I told him I was helping to get them ready to submit to a publisher.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we can get these up pretty soon, Alice. Then we'll hope.
I am hoping already, Doctor. And praying. Because Jeff doesn't look at all well again. Dr. Christine's office, Miss Price speaking. Oh, you, Mr. Fowler. No, the doctor's not in just now, but I'm sure he's heard nothing yet. Yes, of course. He'll let you know.
No, Jeff, not a word yet. I don't know why. These things take time, you know. I'll let you know the minute I hear anything. Judy.
Yes?
Judy is here. Look. In this morning's mail.
Oh, Dr. Christian, no. Let me see. Advance royalties on the Jeffrey Fowler manuscript you sent us. $500. Oh, Doctor, how wonderful.
Oh, I'm sure that's Jeff now making his morning cold for news.
Yes.
I can hardly wait. Hello, Jeff. Listen, my boy. What's that? You, Alice. What? Yes, ill again? Oh, it'll be right over. Yes, right away.
Hey, Dr. Christian, what is it?
Bad news, baby. Just suffered a relapse.
Oh.
It's partly my fault, I'm afraid. Too much work, nervous strain. The excitement of hoping for success.
Oh, Dr. Christian, what a shame. And this is this time, too. Did you say you were going right over to his house?
Yes, immediately, baby. And you know, for once in my medical life, I'm certain that I have in my little black bag the medicine to cure your illness. Well, Jeff, I'm sorry to find you like this.
Oh, I'll be all right, I guess. I just sort of bogged down, Doctor.
Well, I think I've got the right medicine right here in my pocket. Yes. Read this.
Enclosed, please find advance royalties on the Jeffrey Fowler manuscript you sent. $500.
Dr. Chris.
Oh, dear.
You sold it. You sold my book of poems at last. Alice, look, I'm a writer. I'm not a failure after all.
Failure? That's a meaningless word.
Yes, now it is. But yesterday I knew what it meant. A man who doesn't succeed in doing what he wants most. Someone who never attains his goal.
Jeff, this is a strange time for moralizing when you're so happy. But I'd like to tell you a little story, if you don't mind.
No, of course not. But what...
It's a story of a failure, Jeff. A young man who lived in Europe many years ago. A strange young man whose dreams were always greater than his abilities.
And who?
His father was a shoemaker. But this boy reached for the stars. He couldn't tell many goals, but somehow fell short of everyone. An opera singer, a dancer, he started to become a musician. But he was laughed at and derided.
But what's this got to do with me?
Well, finally, he decided where his real talent lay. It was in writing.
Oh.
He wanted to become a great novelist and playwright. So he played night and day over his literary creation. And he did manage to get some of his work published. But while his books were good, they were not great. They were just books. Tell me, dear, would you consider that man a failure?
Oh, yes, I suppose so. He had nothing to offer the world, nothing worthwhile.
Oh, but wait. There's something I forgot to tell you. Sometimes, more to amuse himself than anything else, this failure wrote little stories, quaint fantasies. He allowed them to be gathered into a book. But then, you know what happened, Jeff?
What?
It was from this tiny volume of gone tales that fame came to our failure. The world greeted this book with wild acclaim, took it, its successors, and its author to the heart for all time. Today, Jeff, that man is immortal. So long as their eyes to read, and eager to hear, eager ears to listen, and granted, to these days, he cannot die.
But who was this man, Dr. Christian?
His name was Hans Christian Andersen.
Hans Christian? Doctor, what do you mean? What are you trying to tell me?
Please,
I'm trying to tell you, dear, that this cake is not for your volume of poetry, but for your first book of fairy tales. Alice took down in shorthand a portion of the tale you've been telling Quake and Sandy every night for years.
Alice? And I thought she was reciting my verse.
Well, that night when I sat and listened to you weaving for Quake and Sandy a tale of big adventure in the Never Never Land, when I saw the light gleaming in their eyes, I knew the stories had implanted your children with the light of thousands of others. So we gathered a collection of tales, and very soon you'll receive a copy of your book, The Adventures of Winky and Blinky.
The Adventures of Winky and Blinky. Yeah. Oh, Dr. Christian, I've been a fool. I see it all now. Children's stories, of course. I like to tell them. I can tell them to the children of the world.
And that's a gift given to a very few men, dear, to be able to reach them and touch the heartstrings of little children.
Okay.
Then you're not angry?
Oh, no.
You're not disappointed?
Oh, not a bit. I'm just glad. Glad and, a little bit dazed.
It sort of even sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? Once upon a time, there was a young man.
Oh, no, wait a minute, Judy. That's the wrong line. The right line is, and they lived happily ever after.
The curtain descends on another Dr. Christian Cries play with our star waiting to greet you. Meanwhile, friends, a question. When you get one of those everyday household burns that are always happening, what do you do for it? Well, there's nothing better for cooling your leaf than Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. And here's why. Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, called petrolatum in medical circles, is recognized today as an effective first-aid treatment for burns. Used as a surface dressing, it's helping to promote remarkable recoveries among serious burn casualties, both civilian and military, according to hospital case records. Keep those facts in mind. And whenever anybody in your family suffers a minor burn, reach for Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Spread it on fine mesh gauze and place over the burn. Bandage firmly, but not tightly. If the burn is deep or covers a wide area, call your physician at once. Just one more point, friends. Remember, there are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now, here is Gene Herschel.
Thank you very much. The play you just heard was written by Nelson Bond of Roanoke, Virginia, who was the winner of the Dr. Christian Award for 1943 with his play, The Ring. He's now authoring a radio series on another network and contributing widely to magazines. Next week we present The Younger Generation by Evelyn Homer of Devon, Connecticut. So we invite you all to join us again next Wednesday evening, same time, same station, to hear the Vaseline program. And until then, I'll say good night.
So you've got chapped lips, then get Vaseline Lip Ice. Healing begins almost instantly, only 25 cents. Ask your druggist for Vaseline Lip Ice. Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.